It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstee.com.
All right, now let's talk with our good friends, our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
It's good. We can talk Rangers if you guys want to. I mean, that's always a great conversation. It gets Mike involved, too, which I like.
Actually, I had a football question for you first. How much of a good decision do you think it is for the Seahawks to invite Randy Gregory in for a visit? And if you had to guess how that ends poorly, which path would you go down?
I'm going to go back to whenever we were doing the joint practice and we were broadcasting and live streaming back in Denver, where he was by himself on the Dallas sideline trying to pick a fight. And he wasn't even in pads. Like, he wasn't even participating because he was injured in the middle of the practice. That's what I think would, if there was something to go wrong, it would be the competitive nature of Randy Gregory to just work into the wrong team drill and find his way into trouble that way. But I don't think he gets in trouble because he has an established relationship with Adam Dirty, too, who's now the defensive coordinator there. So I think you know what? I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Okay.
I just only think it's a terrible idea.
Okay, because two things. Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't get in trouble because he doesn't even show up.
Right.
And
exactly.
Also, yeah. I understood what you were saying when you said joint practice.
Yeah, those are his favorite practices.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys.
As in Broncos and Cowboys. And I mean, I know it was in Denver, but like, let's.
I'm not familiar with all the strains. I'm sorry. I'll just take your word for it.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Kyle, you have triplets. Like, Kevin's been trying to get you to do the triplet book and everything. I know you're working hard on it. How does one do a Halloween costuming for triplets?
Oh,
it's just all themed the same way. So we're doing Toy Story. So we've got Woody, Buzz, and Jesse, and we're dressing up because I've got two boys and a girl. So our heavier boy is Buzz Lightyear. The skinnier, lankier boy is Woody. And then, of course, my baby girl is Jessie. And then me and my wife are putting on the alien costumes. Nice. So we've got, like, the three eyes and the claw, you know, like the different Toy Story references. That's what we did this year. I know in the past I've seen some really creative ideas. We didn't get creative. We have too much of a lack of sleep to have any creativity in terms of the Halloween garb this year.
I did see a dad, he built he had a wagon, and then he built a little cardboard whack-a-mole. And so all the kids, he had three triplets, you know, because that's triplets, and he had all of them kind of just popping their little heads out in the whack-a-mole. So, but, you
know, oh, is three God. Triplets nine kids?
Yeah, that would be three triplets. That would be nine kids, Mike. That's right.
See, it's funny because you mentioned that. I even know the guy that you're talking about. It's Jordan Flom, I think is his name on Instagram or whatever. But I get thrown his or DM'd his videos every time he comes out with like a new triplet content piece. I get it maybe 40 times in my inbox.
Okay.
It's just over and over and over again because people are like, oh, Kyle's got triplets. I'm sure this will be fun for him to see. But little do they know, I've already seen it 39 times previous to that. And so that one popped up as soon as he posted it, I think like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just over and over and over again. I'm sure I'll get it for another week or so. And then it'll move on to his next one. One of his other ones, he was playing shuffleboard with them in strollers. Like he's got them
I've
on
seen
like
that,
his
yes.
driveway. Yeah, he's got like a shuffleboard cutout in his driveway, and he's playing shuffleboard with a buddy of his with the triplets as the pieces on the board.
So you want people to know there's more to you than just being a triplet dad.
Mm-hmm.
I love being a triplet dad more than anything in this world. But if you've seen his content, just assume I've already seen it All as right. well. That's
okay.
what I'll say.
Stop sending me that stuff. Oh. What he said.
Okay, look, and this is probably going to be a question along those lines, but with 5 takeaways total and 13 giveaways, clearly that's not a good combination, and the Cowboys have the 3rd worst turnover ratio in all of the NFL. Can you help us solve either side of that, whether it's getting more takeaways or having fewer giveaways?
Yeah, I think it's easier to solve the problem of getting the takeaways, of your defense forcing turnovers. And I really just think that's predicated by lack of a pass rush right now. The fact that you don't have your 4 defensive ends, you don't have Micah Parsons, who's really been a disruptive force enough to where offenses have to change their game plan or they have to force things from time to time. And it puts a lot of pressure on your secondary when you aren't getting that pass rush, when you aren't in the backfield significantly. And the Cowboys haven't been. And I think Atlanta is a pretty good indication of that as well. Atlanta is a team that has a great secondary. They've got some really good pieces on the back end, like A.J. Terrell, like I'm already blanking on the safety
Jesse Bates.
Name. Jesse Bates, yes. Those guys are good at what they do, but they don't have an electrifying pass rush. And because of that, they probably don't get the turnovers that you would see from those guys out in the secondary. It's the same thing for the Cowboys because without Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence or Marshawn Nealand or Sam Williams or whatever they're going to employ up front, teams are able to just kind of pick apart this defense. And even though the secondary is not giving up the big plays more often than not, they're playing off the line of scrimmage, giving themselves a bit of a cushion because they know that these quarterbacks are going to have more time to sift through their wide receiver core, go through their progression, and find them open. That's where the takeaways come from on the defensive side. On the offensive side, I think it's just you got to have a balanced attack. And right now, you're one of the oddly enough, you're one of the best passing teams in terms of yardage per game, but that's because you're not running the ball at all, and you're dead last in terms of rushing yards per game and rushing yards per attempt. So if you can find some balance offensively, I think that helps Dak Prescott not force things and not have to continue to throw the football over and over and over again, because anytime you put the ball in the air, there's a chance for that to go wrong.
I'm glad you brought up the running game. We were talking earlier about the running game specifically, and I said, maybe with some hyperbole, no, but I don't think anybody in the NFL could run behind this offensive line right now. Mm. And we kind of discussed it for a second.
And disagree.
Do you have a list of running backs that you think would be productive, more productive behind this line at the moment?
I think you've already seen 2 of them, maybe 3 of them. And you're going to face one this week in Bijan Robinson. So I think Bijan Robinson's the most complete back, in my opinion, as a young star in this league. So you're going to see an element of that this week. But the other guys that I would think about are Alvin Kamara, just because he is he's such a creator. Whether he's a ball carrier or a receiver, I think he would have success behind this offensive line, because a lot of times in New Orleans throughout his career, he hasn't had a good offensive line to it's run true. Behind, and he still had a phenomenal career up to this point. Derrick Henry is the other one, just because he's a freak of nature and the size and speed combination is as lethal as anything. I still think he would have success behind this offensive line. And then the other one I would kind of throw into the mix is what Detroit does with Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think David Montgomery would have success because he's more of a bowling ball, physical back. Is he a great NFL running back? Absolutely. But I need a creator. And nobody on this roster right now in the Dallas Cowboys running back room can create, except for maybe, and the jury is still out, on Deuce Vaughn. And I mean, Deuce Vaughn is a creator, but does he have the athleticism? And by athleticism, I mainly mean, does he have the size to be a bell cow running back? And does he have the explosion to be a bell cow running back behind a bad offensive line? We haven't seen it yet. He hasn't necessarily gotten the touches yet. So up to this point, I don't think you have it on your roster. I think there's a couple guys out there, but to your point, Corey, I don't think it's no one, but it's a very, very small list of the guys that could run behind this offensive line the way that they've been playing and run blocking to this point.
Now, we're talking with Kyle Yeomans right here on 105 Through the Fan. I read your big facts piece yesterday on DallasCowboys.com. I have a couple if you want to make any changes to the piece today and update them on the website.
Okay.
Tell me if either one of these do anything for you. The Cowboys have 10 plays of 10 yards or more rushing this season. Their opponents have 31. Now, if you're like, oh, well, that's pretty good, but I think you can do better. Fair enough. There have been 315 rushing plays this year in the NFL of 15-plus yards. The Cowboys have zero of those.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Maybe I will add that to the back half of that stat. It continues to drive it into the ground, right?
Yes, that one felt particularly astonishing to me.
They have some work to do, definitely. Then, huh?
Yeah, that run game isn't necessarily working in your favor right now.
They're saving Dalvin Cook, so why don't you guys just relax?
No, they're not.
That's what I was told. We're saving Dalvin Cook, so now we deployed him to practice. Couple carries. Now we're really going to deploy him this week.
He's going to be active this week?
We're ramping up, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to go out on a limb. 10 carries for 25 yards. We're going to bump that average up from 2 yards per carry to 2.5 yards per carry.
I like that idea.
It's improvement.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's all we're asking for at
exactly.
this point.
It's a running back by committee approach, right? So if he has 25 yards and then Zeke has 15 yards, that means they've got 40 yards of rushing. And then, I mean, that doesn't even count what Rico Dowdle's doing, right?
Okay, see, you get it. Now, Dak said something about 2018, and we've been here before. And you just used the phrase, by committee. That was the year the Cowboys decided wide receiver by committee. That didn't work. They were 3-4, realized that was a dumb plan, and made a trade. This year, they're 3-4, also have a by committee system. But they're pretty dug in about not making a trade. You don't anticipate the Cowboys doing anything before Tuesday, right?
I don't. And that's not necessarily off of like any breaking news or reporting or insider information. I mean, I really just from a gut feeling standpoint, I don't know if they do make a move. I was asked on one of our shows earlier this week what move I would make. And I'll ask you guys that question.
Yeah.
If you had one spot to upgrade, what would it be on this Cowboys roster? Because there's multiple spots you could upgrade. Which one would you go for?
I mean, I obviously feel offensive line is very important, but the two players that I'm trying to replace, I want to grow. You know, that's it there. So I guess I would go running back.
Probably, and I don't have a name in mind, but just that feels like the biggest spot for an upgrade. But to your point, you could argue a lot of different spots on the team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would degrade the team.
What was that, Mike?
I would degrade the team I would try to trade, like, yeah, you would hurt yourself. You wouldn't, you'd get worse. I would try to trade Diggs. I would see if anybody wants Eric Kendricks. I would see, like, if anybody wants Osa Odigizuwa. I would, now, I'm only getting fourth and fifths and whatever, but they're telling me, at least if I'm trusting the Cowboys' words, we're out of money for the next few years. We don't have any. We have all these stud players that are making so much money. We're out of money. So if I can only improve the team through draft picks, then I want a lot of draft picks over the next 2 years to try to help out these high-priced players.
Sure. And I think that would be a willing, full approach if you feel like this team isn't close enough, if they aren't close enough. Now, I know my opinion on that is they aren't. I don't think they are close enough to making a run at the playoffs and turning things around. In 2018, obviously, they were close enough. They were one move away. They go get Amari Cooper. They make that trade, and they go from 3-4. I think they lost the next game. I think it was like a Tennessee game
they
on
did.
Like a Thursday
Correct.
Night. It was like a weird game. So they went to 3-5, and then they rattled off 7 of their next 8 wins. I don't see that. When I'm looking at the film here, and it goes back to the question I just asked, there are so many different problems on both sides of the football that I don't think a change in coaching or a change in scheme or a change in personnel is going to help you to a significant portion to say, hey, now instead of getting beat badly by the best teams in the NFL, like Detroit, like Baltimore, like the San Francisco team, when they get healthy, still one of the better teams in the NFL, I don't feel like you're close enough there to make one or two moves in a positive manner to take away from like what Mike is saying here. Maybe you look to the future. Maybe you look and say, hey, we're not that far off because we have cornerstone pieces of this franchise, like Dak, like CD, like Micah. You could have these guys and move into a different direction. You just may have to chalk it up to a loss in 2024 if you're doing so. I don't think they're close enough to make a move in a positive direction. It just depends on what they feel like in a front office sense.
Any chance we can win this game on Sunday?
Absolutely. I think there is a chance. And reason being is the defense from Atlanta does not scare me the same way that some of these other defenses have played throughout the year. I'm looking at
their pressure is terrible.
A lot of too high shell. And if they were getting pressure, that too high shell could be dangerous for Dak and for an offense. That's not the case because they don't get pressure. They're bottom in the league in terms of pressure rate. So against an offensive line that needs a confidence boost, against a running game that needs a confidence boost, and really a quarterback who's turned it over twice and 2 interceptions in his last 3 games, it's another confidence boost. That's what this could be moving forward. Do I see an easy win? No. I think it would turn into close to what you saw in Pittsburgh, but I still think there's a chance and there's an avenue to win on Sunday and to get back to 4-4.
Sorry, I have one more question. Let's say, and you make a lot of logical points, and I'm with you on all of those. Let's say for some reason you gave up a lot of pressure and you still turn the ball over, even with all of that, and you lose by 17, 20 points. Do you think that makes the next 2 days more complicated in terms of, is there anybody we can send away and pick up some more draft capital?
I think by that point you would have the sample size to where it would make a difference. I think losing in that way would make a bigger difference than winning in that way would be. If you win by 17 and you take care of the football and you show out in a way in Atlanta, I think it's more impactful to lose like that than it would be to win like that this weekend. So I still think there could be some moving and shaking. But just based off of what the Jones family has said, this front office has said, and really the mindset within the building, I don't know if there's really going to be a whole lot of needle moving in terms of the trade deadline so far.
Appreciate you very much. As always, good sir. We'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com.
Go get candy.
Yeah. But when do you start taking kids out?
Don't you think that his wife should trick him tonight and say, I'm pregnant and I think I have 3 kids in my belly
again? I don't think that would. No, I don't know. Maybe he wants more. Maybe he wants to have six kids.
Probably not all at the same time, though, right?
I don't know. I mean, get it out of the way, you know? You don't have to go through six different pregnancies. That might be an easier approach to it sometimes. But I have no clue. I just asked Adrian. I said, hey, what time does everything start tonight? Because I have no clue when we're
Mavericks
supposed to expect.
Mavericks are at 7:30.
I got you. Thank you, Mike. I don't know when to expect kids to come by our house. I don't know when to take Lucy around the neighborhood. Carter, I got to go drop off. Avery's driving. So I have no clue, man.
We're getting all my Zach Wilsons out. If you accidentally knock on my door, I literally don't have any candy. You are getting Zach Wilson rookie cards.
All right, fantastic.
Fingers crossed, Bo Nix.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, maybe more of Corey and Mike's Halloween tips and tricks, but also let's go back to the Falcons, talk about the players from Atlanta that scare you and where the Cowboys might hold an advantage next on The Fan.
The pitch to Bijan Robinson. Already one touchdown. Robinson's going to have two today. Touchdown, Falcons.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's stick with the Falcons and dive back into it. Which Falcons players scare you? While Mike attempts to, I guess, do the dirty bird. And where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Now, Kyle was talking about this, and I will go back to this. I think this is going to be a huge part of this game, especially if it goes in the Cowboys' favor. There are, I believe, eight individual players across the league who have more sacks than the Falcons do as a whole. They are led by Matthew Judon and Grady Jarrett, who each have 1.5 in 8 games. So this is not a team that gets pressure on the quarterback. Their opposing pressure rate is 14.4 on other QBs' dropbacks. That's fourth worst in the league.
I'm telling you, doesn't this feel like in the history of football, these are the games the Cowboys win and the Falcons lose? Like, oh, the Falcons are better than the Cowboys. Yes, no doubt about it. I'm not arguing that. Doesn't this feel like, what was that stupid game where we kicked an onside because the Falcons are stupid and the Cowboys won that game. The Falcons were better.
The watermelon kickoff.
Yeah, like this is why you're bringing up these points. And it sounds like to me, this is a game the Cowboys can win. Blocking doesn't matter as much because they can't get to the quarterback. That helps out the Cowboys. The Falcons are eventual losers, and the Cowboys take advantage of losers. And
is this
first
game they're playing that the opponent doesn't have a real, like, legitimate, awesome pass rusher? Doesn't it feel like most of the games they played?
It does feel like
there's
that.
Somebody
yeah.
on the other side.
Claiborne.
Like, you got Myles Garrett. You got Watt. All these. Been tough.
Yeah. And Chaz isn't playing.
Aiden Hutchinson.
We lost when we
Chaz
to the Falcons.
Green, is that what
when
we're
we had
up?
Chaz. Chaz is gone.
I think Darnell Mooney is the one, Kevin, that scares me the most.
Because you brought him up 12, several days ago.
He's got 12 20 plus yard receptions this year, and he's got the most. The rest of the team has two, like their own two's the most. And the Cowboys, I think that's the one. I wanted to ask Kyle this, but I feel like that's the wrong way to ask the question. He's the one that will give you the backbreaker play where they're doing things and you're like, okay, all right. And then all of a sudden, boom, big play happens. They run up on first down and then they're in the end zone. And it's like, what just happened? What was the big play to Darnell Mooney that set this up? So that's the one that I'm really afraid of offensively.
Okay. And let's go into that a little bit more because it is interesting. The Falcons, despite the fact that, you know, we obviously all think Bijan Robinson is really, really good.
He's really good.
Both offensively and defensively, this is not a particularly effective run team. In rushing offense, they're only 15th. In rushing defense, they're only 21st. Now, I realize both of those are worlds ahead of where the Dallas Cowboys are, but it's not as staggering of an advantage as maybe they've seen against some of these other teams. So a lot of this does feel like it will come down to, you know,
the
passing game for both of these teams.
I think and their play action is a lot different because Cousins, I've seen him a lot in the shotgun, so like his play action is more like a read option. It feels like, because of that's where it is. But I think it's just the run game is effective enough that it makes you have to honor it. And because they know Bijan Robinson and Algier in that backfield, so they feel like they have to honor that run game. So if they, dude, you remember that play that the Lions ran where they, it was like 17 fake handoffs?
Yeah.
And then it was a big play downfield. I feel like we might have one of those lined up against us because everybody's going to be in different directions on.
Corey, are you feeling like you're going to hear this on Sunday? Mooney, Mooney.
Wouldn't that have been way more effective like 2 minutes ago?
Take some time to set it up.
I was wondering what Mike was chatting with Alec about, and there you go. It was, can you get the song Mooney, Mooney?
Yeah, but change it to Mooney, Mooney.
I don't know if they play that at that stadium, but yeah. Maybe that is what I'll be feeling.
They played that at Reunion Arena a lot.
That is true. They did. Your thoughts?
All right. I just can't believe that actually happened and that Mike just zoned out of our conversation for a couple minutes so he could be like, get that song. This is the most important thing.
My favorite part was Mike goes, Kevin is very serious right now. I'm going to interrupt
him. You're looking right at Corey, like really giving a valid point with your serious face and your serious voice.
And you wanted to be like, Darnell Mooney, Mooney. Yeah. All right. So...
that's what I do.
Kyle Pitts, you have said this to kind of make fun of not just Kavanaugh, but a lot of people in terms of Kyle Pitts is going to change
the world,
everything. He's going to be a hybrid of Tony Gonzalez and Jerry Rice and unstoppable.
He hasn't been that yet.
No, not at all. And even this year, you can see the difference between like, and okay, I understand why some people had high hopes for him, or a lot of people had high hopes
for him.
Is the first four games... he had 8 catches. These last 4 games, he has 21 catches. So clearly, they have incorporated him more and been more efficient with the way that they use Kyle Pitts. And you've seen that the Cowboys can get abused by some tight ends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and Detroit is a perfect example.
Yes.
That touchdown to Laporta, the Kittle play. Like, that was a significantly big play.
Very true. Bijan Robinson. All right, I told you that the Falcons are middle of the road as a team running. That's partially because they don't run the ball like as much as you would think. Bijan Robinson, 9th in the NFL with 546 rushing yards. I'm surprised that's not higher. You've talked about how much they also use him in the passing game, but 2 of his top 3 performances rushing have happened the last 3 weeks. So much like
after
we talked about.
I traded him in fantasy, of course.
I'm sorry.
But it's okay. Corey. Lamar Jackson's been great for
exactly.
Me,
so. So much like Kyle Pitts has turned it on, it feels like Bijan Robinson has started to crank it up a little bit in terms of the ground game. We already know what he can do on the short pass game.
Yeah, and Arthur Smith loved to run the ball. Like, he was like run over pass. He'll run first and second down, you know? And that's changed, obviously, because A, Kirk Cousins is a real quarterback. The quarterbacks they had previously were not real quarterbacks. And offensive coordinator changes, and he's from the McVay group. So that's more, he has a lot more passing plays that are more effective. Out of the backfield as a receiver, Robinson is fantastic. If he gets out to that edge, if he gets out there and he has space, that's where he really can kill you because he can get upfield quickly and he can break some tackles too. So, the Cowboys have to be so sound in their defense to not let him bust loose for a big one.
And when you talk about being sound on their defense, I understand what you're talking about with Bijan Robinson. Do you also say sound because you don't, I guess I don't, see any particular way that they just jazz up the pass rush and really dial it up?
No, like, I mean, the pass rush definitely comes from having the talent to do it.
And right now we still do not.
I go back to the teeth, the Jurassic Park theory of they don't have enough teeth right now. In these battles, they have less teeth than their opponents.
Thought for sure, Mike, you were going to ask for the Jurassic Park theme song after that. That scared the crap out of me.
It's a dinosaur.
Yes. No, I guessed. It was a dinosaur, Howard Dean. When the Cowboys weren't getting pressure on Brock Purdy, which was most of the game, he was 13 of 18 for 231 yards. Kirk Cousins has shown, like, as much as obviously we've made fun of him over the years, he has shown, like many quarterbacks, if you give him time, he can carve you up. And he had a bunch of lengthy completions last week against the Bucks.
And he's not moving a lot of different places, but yeah,
he is our quarterback.
But they're getting rid of the ball quickly too at times. And so he knows what he's supposed to do. He's a good quarterback.
Like, he is.
Don't get me wrong. He's not great. He's good though. And he's getting rid of the ball quickly enough to, and that's where the Cowboys can struggle too, is if something's happening fast, they don't react that fast sometimes. So I think this is going to be a high scoring game no matter what from the Falcons. Can the Cowboys score? That's the thing we haven't seen. Red zone bad, and then getting to the red zone's bad too.
Okay, so, and that, what a disastrous combination that is. You don't get to the red zone enough, and when you do, you certainly don't score touchdowns enough off of that. And then you look at, we talked about him earlier, cornerback AJ Terrell, Jesse Bates, the safety. He forced two turnovers last week. He forced and recovered a fumble on the second play of the game. Then guess what happened? They scored a touchdown. And then he got an interception at the Falcons 8-yard line in the third. So he started off the game with an impact play, started off the second half with an impact play. And we've talked about the Cowboys are horrible at the start of the game and the start of the second half.
Kevin, I do love the idea of calling a fumble recovery a recumble. Like, I do think that
it does make sense.
You accidentally made that up.
Yes.
But I think it could be a real thing forever.
He had a fumble recumble. I think, and you should definitely get credit for both of those. You forced the fumble and you got the recovery. So that's two right there. But my point is, with the way the Cowboys have been turning over the ball, with the way Dak has been turning over the ball, and you see a cornerback and a safety in just Terrell and Bates alone who have been able to force some turnovers here. That's another combination that is not my favorite.
Yeah, Dak's going to have to, I mean, it's going to be another CeeDee Lamb day, right? Is just,
yes,
do what you can to make sure you get the ball to him quickly and then let him do his thing.
Do you think we can call another play, Mike, that's so good that we make two of the Falcons defenders run into each other?
That's what Mike McCarthy does.
That's his play calling.
I saw it happen pretty much twice late in the game. He saved it for late in the game.
That's true.
He's like, I need points right now.
I will say
now.
This. I mean, you could ruin the game, but I would try a play where I take my wide receiver, slam him into the safety as hard as I can, run my tight end out to the edge and go, if you call this a pick, I'm going to kill you because I saw this done to us on Sunday Night Football and
you
they said,
us.
No, it is not.
How much negotiating time do you think you get with those officials to like give them that entire clear message?
I would do like Joe Mazzulla does. I go out there and punch them in the face if they didn't call it right and say, this is how sports used to be.
We used to fight.
All right, so a lot to look forward to Sunday right here on The Fan. Noon kickoff, 9 o'clock pregame show.
Heck yeah, I can't wait.
Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through The Fan.
Cracked in the air to deep center field. Judge retreats. He'll make the grab, but the Dodgers have come all the way back and taken the lead in Game 5. From down 5 to nothing to ahead 7-6. In the most preposterous way.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Heggy. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. But I wanted to have a quick discussion between you and Mr. Corey Majors, because people are showing off what kind of Halloween candy they got tonight for the kids, and you looked disgusted at the bag of Almond Joy that got brought up. And I know
there's a bag of Almond Joy,
Mister.
Where is
it's for the kids. It's not for you.
Damn, boss has a bag. It's his office.
And I know Corey Majors loves the Almond Joy.
Save the kids, Corey.
Yeah, I will save the kids. I will take all of the Almond Joys out of my own kids' bags. And I'll take all the Almond Joys out of my own, the stuff we have at our house to pass out, because I eat Almond Joys one time a year on Halloween.
Which kind of proves my point, Heggy.
They're not good enough for a year-round.
And I'm okay with that, yeah.
I mean, if you like them around Halloween as like a specialty item.
Okay.
You know, kind of like those really bad shortbread cookies in the Christmas tin.
Yes!
But you're like, well, it's Christmas, so I guess I'm going to eat some of these now. I get it. But I just don't think that, you know, Almond Joy should be out there, or Mounds.
Okay. See, I'm not a fan of either one of those, but
Christmas tin isn't necessarily always for those cookies, as we've learned, though.
Is it for weed?
Is coconut considered a fruit?
What's that?
Is coconut considered a fruit?
I think it's a nut.
It's a fruit.
Yeah. Is it
a fruit? It's coconut, you know? So I'm going to stick with that.
Put the lime in the
coconut. Never thought of it that way. I didn't break down the word.
I think it is a fruit walnut. Because it comes off a tree. And we don't, like, it's fruit that grows on trees.
There's
right?
nuts that come off of trees, too, though,
does
right?
Does it have seeds?
I guess there are nut trees, yeah.
I think it's a giant
seed.
It has seat.
Milk in it.
Man, it's a good thing we all found this job, huh? Because we're not helpful on the regular
yes,
world.
It is a type of fruit. Yeah. It is a type of fruit.
That's why Kevin hates it. He hates fruit.
Mm. Yeah, he's always hated fruits.
No, the Almond Joys are disgusting. I mean, you don't like Oreos and you like Almond Joys.
That is a good point.
Oreos are terrible.
Conversation.
There's better chocolate out
this
there.
Is disgusting. Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite Halloween candy or a favorite costume you ever dressed up as back in the day, maybe more recently? No judgment.
Do we have a favorite Halloween candy? I think it's obvious.
Did you guys ever do a tandem costume?
No.
That'd be neat.
We did the tandem payoff where we were tied together for
I saw your checks.
Show.
I know.
And, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's also
my
true. The
my mistake. My mistake.
I went.
We did the stuck on you.
Yes, we did. Yes, yeah. We did.
I went as the late, great Bill Walton one year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had this big red wig and like an old retro like warm-up sweatsuit.
That's awesome.
And I tried to talk like Bill Walton, you know.
And you trip balls, of course.
Did you go off on weird tangents when you're like, Trucker, you know, one thing that's always occurred to me. And they're like,
mushroom candy bars only.
That's right. That's you know, I had to get in character.
That is amazing.
The mountains are tall.
You guys are not from the era of when that Halloween costumes used to have like plastic masks.
Yes,
and the
string.
Yeah,
that
the
string
on the
would
back,
break
and
like
it, and
nothing.
It had just a little pinhole to breathe out of. So when you would hustle from house to house, you'd have to take a knee halfway because you're out of breath.
You're sweating the whole time.
You couldn't breathe.
Oh, yeah.
And then
those nose holes were not big enough.
And then the costume would always rip. Along the way, something would happen where it would rip.
It was basically a plastic bag.
Yeah. It was. It was.
I was a Smurf one year like that, like as a little kid.
Oh my God, I want to see a picture of that.
I don't know where.
But that plastic mask, you would dehydration would set in.
Yeah.
If it was a warm night, because your face would just be sweating from that plastic on your face.
Okay, then that could be a good spot where sometimes people will hand out, like, I don't know, like juice boxes or something like that. How do you feel about the non-candy? Like, sometimes people give out pencils or like pennies or juice boxes. You guys are both shaking your head no to that.
I am actually cool. Like, we discussed this yesterday. Like, I do love pretzels, and I think pretzels can oftentimes pair well with like a chocolate. So if I get a Hershey bar out of your bucket and some pretzels, I'm fine with it. But other
things, just pause you real quick. Yeah. Corey, what are your thoughts about pretzels?
Pretzels are what they serve in hell because they're just dry and they stick, you know, to your organs.
So when you're on an airplane, you think you're on hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's nice that there's food in
even
hell.
In first class with that one dude. You know,
they call that talking spirit. The
spirit.
I'll tell you what, we used to trick or treat Frontier. In college for drinks. Like you go from house to house, yeah. We were neighborhoods.
Oh, that's
there. Neighborhoods
a good idea.
That you'd go from
buckets
house
of beer on your doorstep.
Yes, you went from house to house. They'd hand you a beer. They might hand you a cocktail. It was kind of fun.
A couple of suds with the boys.
Yeah, kind of fun.
Were you looking for the cocktails, or perhaps meeting a somebody? At
no,
the
no,
door?
You were always looking for the cocktails there.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
And the drinks too, right, Broadus?
Yeah, whatever. Gosh, I hate you. Every day I come to this job and I'm thinking about, I was looking on my Odyssey thing, if one more period of, insurance and then I could be out of here, you know, one more time I could do this.
We're going to push you over the edge today.
Man, who knew that upcoming fan phenom would have such high stakes?
Rage quit today.
All right. Has your wife or have you, Wolchuk, dressed up the little one in costume? I know she's not going to go trick-or-treating or anything, but that does seem to still be like a parental rite of passage.
Yeah, she was Ariel from Little Mermaid.
Okay,
and she went swimming.
She actually went in the pool.
You know, so, we got a lot of pushback from the morning show. A lot of pushback about that mock trial.
No, it needs to happen.
I don't think Sean wants it to happen.
Would Sean be able to put his hand on the Bible?
Oh, no, sir. Put your hand on the Bible.
A miniature Bible.
Can we drop off like mini subpoenas for them in the morning?
They don't do that in court anymore.
Oh, do they? You don't have to swear on the Bible?
Mike knows he's been to court a lot lately.
Yeah. You just look at the judge and they say you're
a liar.
You like swear to tell the truth or whatever. Well, you know, they still say that, but there's no Bible to like put your hand on or whatever.
Oh, wow.
So it doesn't really count, I guess.
Well, obviously, if you're going against somebody that you feel like they are not telling the truth, then yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe we won't have the Bible for a mock trial. I don't know. We'll ask Sean how he feels about that.
Wouldn't it be better if you actually had to swear to tell the truth? Like I effing swear, Judge.
Yeah. That would be amazing. That charge
you
is
actually cuss the whole
I'll bleep and tell the truth, I promise.
The lady's over there typing away.
Swear to tell the truth.
If you know somebody who
F-bomb
has that,
again, F-bomb again.
If you know someone who is a stenographer or has that tiny typewriter, please reach out. Because I would love to get that person in the corner for all of this.
Yeah, that's how Sean was in college, a little tiny typewriter.
That's a good point, man. What a hell of a segment this is going to be.
Peace-a-thon. I was
going to
tell that girl, a tennis player yesterday we had on.
Pickleball. Jeannie Bouchard.
Yeah, I was going to tell her that we have a host here who knew he wasn't good enough to win a state championship, but knew there was a girl at his school that was really good at tennis and thought, if I can team up with her, I have a chance of winning something.
I'll tell you what, that's a smart move on his part, though. That's knowing your team right there. That's
absolutely. I agree with that. Were you guys tuned in, locked in at all on the World Series last night? Was there any part of you that was hoping for more baseball or just the downfall of the Yankees?
We're no longer champions, right?
Yeah.
We're the last AL team to win the championship.
2023 champs now. That's what you have to say.
We're done, huh?
Like the Mavs are the 2011 champs. Cowboys are the Jimmy Johnson champs.
Couldn't remember the year, could you?
Oh, 92, 93, 95.
Correct.
There you go. There you go.
I was watching. I mean, I turned it on as soon as the blunder happened in the fifth inning. And now it's 5-3.
Yeah.
And then I had it on the rest of the game. Driving home, all of a sudden, boom, Dodgers are up big, or Yankees are up big. I'm thinking, okay, we're going back to L.A. for game six. But that fifth inning was hilarious.
Is it?
Did you guys know yesterday when we were cross-talking that that's the 25th time a team's been up 3-0 and 21 out of the 25 times.
I was listening to your show the other day. Yeah. You did.
It's just amazing to me that
baseball nuggets
with Marvin forced to a game six.
It looked like for sure you score three runs quickly, and I'm like, Gerrit Cole's on the mound. He looks good.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first time a team pushes this to
how do you not
game.
Cover first base, Michael?
Oh, my man.
How do you in a game of that importance just forget to cover first base?
He
fall off the mound, funny?
No, he immediately got off the mound. Because there were already two errors in the inning and he was tired.
Frustrated. He couldn't run.
It was just he was tired. He had thrown so many pitches. Wow. It was stupid, right? It was a stupid decision. But he took three hard steps off the mound. He thinks, right, assuming as a bad mistake, he's like, well, it's close enough. He'll probably do it. And I'm tired and I'm frustrated. Mm. I don't want to run anymore.
In the World Series, he decided to tap out. He was like, Anthony Richardson has something going on here.
The New York radio rants against him today.
Against Gerrit Cole?
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Probably just for that play, general.
I mean, there was a center fielder and a shortstop who made errors also before that one.
Well, I think across the board, but that particular one, I would imagine they're not going to have much in the way of understanding towards it, are they?
I would say he's our best pitcher. He's a major reason we're in this situation. Obviously, Aaron Judge is a major reason we're in this situation too, but I mean, I would be mad if a 12-year-old missed that ball.
Yeah.
Like it happens every once in a while. A major mistake happens in a major situation, but like if a 12-year-old is in center field in that situation, I would expect for him to catch that fly ball to center field.
Yeah, somewhere Nelson Cruz is going.
Well, if the Rangers can no longer be champions, at least we get a finish with one of the worst Yankee defeats in history.
I'm all right with
that's
that.
A good point.
And can you imagine that historic franchise hasn't won since 2009?
Yeah, it's terrific. Yeah.
Don't go down that path.
They'll blame the Astros too now.
That feels like forever. 2009 was the last time the Yankees won.
Oh, that's definitely what he's getting at. He's been twisting this knife all day. What do you guys got coming up on the program? Shut up, Mike! What have you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always. Hagee, thanks so much for asking the Eric Kendrick Show 5 o'clock.
Looking forward to it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. Remember, for us, tomorrow, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine off of 114.
Five. If you I want forgot, to 09, come
see us.
96, 98, 99, 2000, 09. Yankees, five championships.
10 a.m.
And they're in a bad stretch.
To 2 p.m. right here.
It happens.
On 105 through the Fan.
Say trick or treat, Kevin.
Trick or treat.
But Kevin isn't a huge fan of nuts, so you got him the balls instead.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.